Man, good morning again. It's good to be here with you guys, preaching again with you this morning. If you have your Bibles and you want to open up to John chapter 10, that's where I'll be looking at. That's where we'll be looking at this morning, in John chapter 10. And as I kind of prepared this message, John chapter 10 is kind of one of those great passages of Scripture, one of the great teachings of Jesus, where he talked about himself as the good shepherd. And I kind of want to look at that this morning, and as I kind of did some research into the Good Shepherd and kind of what that means to people, I realized that that isn't just meaningful to me, but throughout time and throughout history, the Good Shepherd has been a very impactful picture that Christ gave to the church as a whole. They found as they were, you know, uncovering some of the catacombs that the Roman Christians worshiping down kind of in the sewers of Rome held on to the Good Shepherd as kind of a picture of what Christ meant to them. And so they had paintings of the Good Shepherd, if you can imagine, in the sewers of Rome, because that's what it was meant to them. And the Good Shepherd is kind of a metaphor. It's been found throughout the world, in South Africa, as well as in Egypt. You know, churches throughout the United States, you'll see a picture of the Good Shepherd. Even in, you know, China, they've had paintings found of the Good Shepherd. And then when I was in Korea a couple years ago, the chapel I was at on an Air Force base, a Korean Air Force base, they had a big mural of the Good Shepherd. And so Jesus here teaching about the Good Shepherd, such a meaningful passage of Scripture where he says, you know, I know you and you hear my voice and you're my sheep and various things like that. But as I looked into this passage, I was also kind of struck by something else in this passage, and not so much that Jesus was saying, I'm the good shepherd, because that's so powerful, but also what Jesus was doing in this passage was he was proclaiming himself as the good shepherd, but he was also telling the people of the day, he was kind of comparing himself to the leadership that they used to have. If you look up kind of a few passages for a few in verse 7 here in John chapter 10, it says, truly, he says, I'm the door of the sheep, and then he goes on to say that all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And he kind of goes to this idea that I'm the door. And so Jesus is kind of making this comparison between himself as the good shepherd and what the good shepherd does, and then the people who have come before him, which I think are probably the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And so he's kind of making this comparison in leadership, saying, you know, in the past, you've been led this way, and the Pharisees have kind of ruled you with an iron fist, and they've kind of done this and that, or, you know, they proclaimed the law, and were very, you know, strict about enforcing that. And not that Jesus wasn't serious about the law, because he was. But Jesus is, I think, teaching these people that I've come to lead you and shepherd you in a different way than you've seen in the past. And so kind of what I want to look at this morning is the leadership that Christ says, hey, this is how I'm going to lead you, or this is how you should be led, or this is what I've come to do. But also what I want to look at is kind of as I applied this and kind of thought about, you know, what does this mean for me as a person, besides the, you know, the warm, fuzzy feelings that you get thinking about Christ and his relationship to us as the good shepherd. But I kind of wanted to apply that to not just us, but also the way that we live our lives. Because Jesus said here, he said, I'm the good shepherd. If you go about 10 chapters further into the book of John, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And so what I take out of that is Jesus came and he lived a life as our example and as the picture of how we should live and what we should be. And so what I want to do this morning is kind of look at this picture of the good shepherd and the leadership that Jesus provides through it. And then I kind of want to apply that to our lives and how do we live that out as people of God. And kind of as you look at this passage of Scripture and you listen to Jesus talk about being the good shepherd, I kind of relate it to leading other people and relating to other people, because throughout history, the picture of a shepherd was a picture of leadership. In the Old Testament, the Lord describes himself as a shepherd, doesn't he? Probably one of, you know, the nearest and dearest scriptures to our heart is Psalm 23, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, right? And talks about how he leads us beside still waters and into green pastures. And God told David, you're going to shepherd my people Israel. And we know David was a great military leader and a great king. In the New Testament, the church, the leaders of the church were called as elders. He said, shepherd the flock of God in the book of Acts. And so this idea of a shepherd is this idea of course, you know, a physical shepherd who tends sheep, but also as we apply it to ourselves, it's this idea of this spiritual leadership in our lives. And we see the leadership of Christ, and then Christ wants us to live that out as well. And so let's look at what Jesus says here in John chapter 10. We'll start in verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down of my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come now and look into your word and look to you as our great shepherd, the good shepherd, Lord, I pray that you would teach us. I pray that you would show us not only that you're the shepherd in our lives, but God, how can we shepherd those who you've brought into our lives and so and the people you've given us to be our sheep. And so, God, I just ask that you would teach us that this morning, that you would lead us and draw our hearts close to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And the first thing is I kind of looked at this passage and kind of thought about it with this idea of not just that Christ is my shepherd, but how can I be a shepherd to those around us? The first thing that really jumped out to me was kind of the way that Jesus defines this shepherd quality or this spiritual leadership quality. And he doesn't really define it the way sometimes we think about leadership. Sometimes when we think about people who are leaders, we tend to think of maybe a title that's given to them, right? When we think about the president of the United States, he's our leader because he has the title of president, right? Or we think about maybe a pastor is a leader because he's called a pastor. Or maybe you think about yourself, I'm a father and I have that title as father. And so that kind of makes me a leader. I'm a mother, that makes me a leader. Or whatever the situation, you know, is. Or I'm a boss and they've given me that position and that title. But as you look at Jesus here, he says, I'm the good shepherd, and kind of makes that declaration to the people, but he doesn't really draw upon his authority as God. He doesn't say, I'm the good shepherd, or he doesn't say, I'm, you know, Jesus Christ, I'm the Messiah, you know, follow after me. Or he doesn't really say, haven't you seen the miracles that I do? Follow after me. He doesn't say, you know, I was born of a virgin, and you've heard that story. I'm proven that I'm God, and this, that, or the other, follow after me. He relates himself as the good shepherd, not so much in the titles that he has, but in the relationships that he has with the people. You see, he's the good shepherd not because of the title that's given to him or the authority that he has, because he has all the authority that there is. But he really says, this is why I'm the good shepherd, because of the way that I relate to my sheep. I lead these people through this relationship and the actions I take on their behalf. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, I own the sheep. They belong to me. I'm invested in their lives. He says, I know my sheep, right? And my sheep know me. They hear my voice. And there's that aspect of relationship. It's not so much, I'm the shepherd, you know, get on board with what I'm doing, but this relationship aspect to the sheep. And so he kind of goes into this idea of protecting the sheep and leading the sheep and being concerned about the sheep. And so he's not saying, you know, I have a title, follow after me. He's saying, I care for you, and I want to lead you as your shepherd. And I thought about that when I was a youth pastor. You know, they gave me this placard about 2 months before I resigned from the church. And it says, Stephen Hervey, youth pastor, right? And as I look about, I don't know if you guys can read it from the back, but that's what it says. I'm not lying. As I look on my time as a youth pastor, I don't tell people, well, I was only a youth pastor for 2 months because that's when they gave me the placard, right? Or I don't say, I was only a youth pastor for, you know, 3 or 4 years because they finally started paying me after I'd served in the church for a couple years. No, I say, I was a youth pastor for about 6 years because, in 2000, that's when I began investing my lives into the lives of those kids and teaching them and getting to know them and doing all the things that Jesus talks about here. You see, it's not about the title you have on your door or the title that you've given yourself or others have given to you. The way that Christ leads is the relationships that he has with each and every single one of us. You know, if it was all about authority and if it was all about, you know, this or that or other, Christ wouldn't have had to come to earth and live as a man and learn to sympathize with us and walk through us with our trials and all the things that he did. He could have simply just sat there on high and said, I'm God, get on board with the program, right? But that's not how Jesus chose to lead us. And that's not how Jesus chose. And that's not how Jesus wants us to lead and serve the people around us. And so he defines this idea of being a shepherd or being a spiritual leader by the relationships that we have. And so what does that mean to us? I think the first thing that that means to me anyways, and hopefully to you, is that in some aspect or some capacity, all of us have this mantle, if you will, of being a shepherd, of being a spiritual leader, because all of us are in some sort of relationship with someone else where we have the opportunity to lead them spiritually or help them grow spiritually or teach them. You know, if you're here and you're a mother this morning, you know, you've been placed in that position by God, and that your children are going to be your sheep. You're going to lead them and help them grow. If you're here this morning and you're a father, you know, you're going to, you've been given that place by God to lead your children and leave your wife as they're your sheep. And sometimes we don't think about it that way. Sometimes I just think, these are my kids, you know, get out of my, you know, business for a little bit. Let me have some quiet time, right? But God says, these are your sheep. He's placed them in your life that you can lead them and relate to them. You know, if you're at work and you work with people, those are your sheep. How many of you would consider yourself an older woman? You know, you don't have to raise your hand, right? The first service didn't laugh at that. I don't know why. I thought it was pretty funny, but. Paul says in Titus chapter 2 that the older women should teach the younger women, right, how to love their husbands and be godly and, you know, do this thing and how to live as a godly woman, right? And so if you're here and you're an older woman this morning and you consider yourself that, you have sheep, and it's the younger women that you should be teaching and leading. If you're here and Paul goes on in Titus and he says if you're an older man, you should be teaching the younger men what it's like to be a godly man, right? And so there's all these different relationships that we have in different positions that we've been given and as shepherds, as the good shepherd. And then we should live that out in the same way that Christ lived and served those that he led. And I've always been amazed, you know, at the leadership that in the churches that I've been in and the places that I've gone. You know, I was a pastor for 5 or 6 years, and man, there's all kinds of leadership and spiritual care that was done in that church, and I had absolutely nothing to do with it. And I thought that was fantastic because those people took care of the others. And so this morning, if you're here and you have relationships, I believe God has placed you as a shepherd to lead people spiritually. And then who are those people God has placed you to live? And I kind of covered that a little bit with, you know, fathers and mothers and, you know, older women and younger women. And sometimes I think that God is, as you look around, you know, who are the sheep that God has given you? And I thought about that there's some that are specifically assigned. Paul said, you know, I've been sent to the Gentiles. Peter said, I've been sent to the Jews. Jesus said, I've come just for the lost sheep of Israel. And then, of course, he came for the world as well. And then sometimes I thought about, you know, Jesus' ministry and Paul's ministry. And sometimes I thought those sheep are there and it's very obvious. Other times I think the sheep kind of just wander into the flock just every now and then. You know, have you ever been in a certain season of your life where you, for whatever reason, someone came into your life and they were just there and you had this really distinct connection with them and you didn't know really why? I believe God has brought people into our lives so that we might minister to them just for that short period of time. You know, Jesus had that happen all the time. You know, you think about Zacchaeus, right? He wasn't one of the 12. But he just was there for that one day, and Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today, right? And we're going to have lunch, and, you know, then, of course, Zacchaeus repented, and all this stuff happened. Jesus led him. You think about people like blind Bartimaeus who needed healing, and Jesus reached out and healed him. You know, they weren't with him for his entire ministry or his entire life. They were just there for a season. And as I thought about that, I thought about all the different people that God has brought into my life just for a few months or just for a couple years, and then they're gone. And then, you know, I had this time to interact with him, and we did this, that, and the other. And then they moved on. I thought about the shepherding that our Awana listeners and our Awana leaders get the opportunity to do on Wednesday night. And that's just for a distinct amount of time, right? When my wife and I were heavily involved in Awana and one of the churches we were in, the frustration was is, you know, you would sit down and you would listen to these kids and teach them for like 2 or 3 years, and then they would move on to, you know, the next group. And then they would move on to the next group. You know, some of you have those sorts of relationships with people just for that 2 or 3 years where you really get to teach them about God or teach them about the Bible or whatever, but those are your sheep for that point in time. Sometimes we identify the sheep in our lives by the burden that we feel for them. You know, there's a great picture of Jesus as the good shepherd, and I'm not sure where it's at, but some of the depictions have the good shepherd with the sheep across his back, and he's kind of carrying that sheep along. And I think, man, what a great picture of Christ, and that he's carrying the burden and bearing the burden of that sheep as he, you know, serves him and loves him. And sometimes I think that's the way that we understand those sheep, is that it's just a burden that God has placed on our hearts. You know, someone just comes to your mind all the time. They're just constantly there, constantly there, constantly there. And you, man, why am I thinking about, you know, this person all the time? I read a book once and it said that if you've ever been in a situation where you see somebody who reminds you of somebody else, right? You know, that guy looks exactly like X, or that guy looks exactly like, you know, my sister's old boyfriend, or whatever the case may be. Some people would say that's God placing that person in your mind so that you'd be praying for them and thinking about them. Maybe they need your prayers. And so sometimes those sheep, they become into our lives, and not for a certain amount of time. Maybe they're not, you know, assigned to us officially by God because we're their mother or father or whatever. But sometimes it's just this burden that God places on our hearts. And so what I want you to think about is just, you know, who are the sheep in my life? Who are the people that God has brought to me, that God has given to me, and has asked me to be their spiritual shepherd, the one who cares for them and leads them? And all of us, it's going to be different for all of us, you know, in different times in my life. I think it's different people. Right now, as I was just looking through this passage of Scripture, the big burden of my life was for my kids. You know, and I'm always there for them, and I'm always their shepherd and father. But for some reason right now, that's what really is pressing home to me is maybe it's because my daughter's getting to about 15 and my son's at 13, and it's kind of like they've only got a few more years at the house, and so I better get, you know, all of the Bible into them I can before they're gone, right? But who are the people God has laid on your heart that you can lead them spiritually and influence them? And so the second question, the second part of that is, you know, we're defining this shepherding by the relationships we have. And so the second thing I want to look at is what does it take to be a good shepherd, right? And so I want to look at what Jesus said here about these are the relationships, and then what does it take to be that type of good shepherd? What does Jesus do for us that makes us identify with him as the good shepherd, right? Because if we didn't identify with him if as the good shepherd and say, man, you are the good shepherd, nobody would care about that, right? It wouldn't be painted all over the world, and people wouldn't say, the good shepherd cares for his sheep, and we wouldn't relate to that. And so what is it about the good shepherd that makes him the good shepherd? And so I want to look at a few of those things that Jesus kind of brings out here. And the first one is in verse 12. He says, we'll go with verse 11. He says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he goes on in verse 12 and he says, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches and scatters them. And so the first thing, actually the second thing, but the thing I want to talk about first that Jesus says about the sheep, the shepherd and the sheep relationship, is that the shepherd has an ownership of the sheep. A shepherd is deeply invested in the lives of the sheep. And you see that with Jesus and the people that he was teaching and leading, right? He was invested in their lives. He was with them through thick and thin. When Peter, you know, Jesus was teaching them about the resurrection or about the crucifixion, he basically says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me. And Peter's like, no, you're not going to do that. That's never going to happen to you. And Jesus said, well, first he said, get behind me, Satan, which was maybe not quite good shepherdish, but then he kind of corrected Peter. And then after that, he says, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, right? And so kind of encouraged him. And Peter denied him, and Jesus was with him. So he was deeply invested in the lives of his disciples. And so he wasn't afraid to say, these people are mine. I own them. They are my sheep. This passage of Scripture kind of refers back to the law, the Old Testament law in Exodus. There was a rule about, you know, how hired hands and people who were really truly owners of the sheep worked together. And Exodus 22:13 says this. It says, if you entrust your property to your neighbor, which means basically you hire him to watch your flock. And it's torn to pieces, and I'm assuming it's by a wolf there, or an animal. It says, the person you hired is not responsible for the property. He shall not make restitution as long as he brings in some pieces as proof. All right? And so Jesus kind of makes this comparison between someone who owns the sheep and has this investment in them and someone who's just kind of out there for a paycheck, right? Someone who's just kind of doing the business, someone who's just watching over the sheep. You see, the owner of the flock is going to be so deeply invested in the sheep that if there's wolves coming, I'm guessing if it's your sheep, and that's like back then they didn't have bank accounts like we have and, you know, investment online and T. Rowe Price and all that stuff, right? Your wealth was your flock of sheep or your flock of goats or whatever. So I'm guessing if there's some wolves coming and they're going to take away all your wealth or a great portion of your wealth, you're going to stand and you're going to fight and try to drive those off the best you can, right? Isn't that what David said? A bear and a wolf, you know, I defeated them and this Philistine will be like one of them. So he stood up for the sheep that he was shepherding. But a hired hand's got nothing to lose, right? I mean, he's not going to stand up and defend your flock and defend your wealth because he has no deep investment in it. All he gets is a paycheck from it. He's got nothing to lose, nothing to gain from it. And so that's kind of what Jesus is saying here is that I've kind of attached my life to these people and I'm deeply invested in their success and their future. And I'm driving them and pushing them to a place where I want them to go. And as people who follow Christ and people who are charged with leading others and being spiritual shepherds to them, we've got to take that same sort of attitude. Not just, hey, I'm just here for the show, or I'm just here for the paycheck, or I'm just here for this, that, or the other. But we attach our lives to them. And we live with them in such a way that we're invested in them, that we care about their future, and we want to drive them, we want what's best for them. The Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, we loved you so much that we shared not only the gospel with you, but we shared our very lives with you. Right? We shared ourselves. We poured out into you. And that's what Jesus has done. And that's taking ownership of your sheep. See, leading sheep and helping people grow in the faith is not just something that we do. It's our mission in life. And that's how we have to see it as the good shepherd. That's how Christ saw it for us. And that's how we see it for the sheep in our lives. We stick with them through thick and thin, regardless of circumstances, regardless of dangers, the trials, you know, toils and snares that come along with that. And so that's what Christ has done for us, and we're committed to those who we lead. The second thing that Jesus brings out here is in verse 13, kind of along that same sort of vein, kind of this idea of we're invested in and we're not going to run away when times get tough, but also we're there for their protection. Verse 13, he says, he flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. He's not going to fight for them. He has no investment in them, but he's there to protect them. The hired man flees when the wolf comes and he wants to scatter the sheep, but the person who's committed to the sheep stands there and protects them, you know, and I kind of relate to this, to the idea that, you know, sometimes if you're like me and like a lot of people, we really like to focus in on all the good things that God has for us, right? We like verses like Jeremiah 29:11 that says, I know the plans that I have laid for you, right? Plans for a hope and a future and plans to prosper you. And, you know, Philippians says, you know, that he who began a good work in us will continue it until the completion in Christ Jesus. And so we love this idea that God has a plan for us. But I think sometimes when it comes to shepherding sheep and leading people spiritually, we forget that there is someone out there that also has a plan for them, right? There's the enemy of our souls and the enemy of our faith who is plotting and seeking to destroy everything that God is trying to do, right? Jesus taught, he says, you know, the thief comes only to kill and to steal and to destroy, right? But I've come that you have life and have it abundantly. And so in other words, there's somebody out there who is trying to kill. I always like say keel and steal, kind of like I'm from the South or something like that because it rhymes, I guess, but who's trying to kill, steal, and destroy, right? But I've come to give you life. There's someone out there who's trying to destroy everything that I've come to do, and the shepherd fights that person off, and the shepherd protects the sheep in his life or her life, right? Peter said, your enemy is out there like a roaring lion, seeking who he may, not like pet, but seeking who he may devour. He wants to destroy you. And so as the spiritual shepherds, as Jesus points out here, we don't just let negative influences and negative peoples and destructive things come into the lives of our sheep, but we do what we can to push those things away. We combat the evil that comes into our lives of our sheep with the truth of the Word of God. You know, we keep them from destructive influences, and we keep them from the negative things that are out there in our culture. You know, the subtle influences that kind of slip in if you're not careful. Kind of like that wolf slinking in at darkness when kind of no one is on watch. You know, the things that they teach, in the scientific community about evolution or, you know, the Big Bang or things like that. Things that are devoid of the principles of God. And they just kind of slip in there slowly. And as shepherds, we stand against that and we say, no, that's not true, or that's not what God's Word says. We combat that with the truth. You know, sometimes we have to keep the negative influences out of the lives of our sheep. And I, as a father of a teenage daughter, you know, I really identify with keeping negative influences out of her life. And I always think of that, you know, specifically with the boys that she would talk to, you know. There's some great young men in this church, but anytime I see one of them talking to my daughter, I'd like keep it in the back of my head. Maybe I should, you know, keep those two apart, right? I heard a story, read it on Facebook, I think, and it said that there is a father, and he was had a daughter who was on her first date with her son, and the father, you know, when the son, or not the son, but the date shows up, and the father kind of tosses him a shotgun shell, and the son says, "What's this?" And he says, "Well, I just want you to know that that lead's going to move a lot faster after 10 o'clock tonight, right?" So, not encouraging that, you know, but that's what I think about, that there are going to be people who, as you think about the sheep, who are going to come into their lives, and they're going to try to draw them away from the truth, and draw them away from what they know to be right, and draw them away from what you want those sheep to become, and what Christ wants those sheep to become, and we've got to fight against that. And that's what Paul, and as you get into Paul's writings, he talks about that a lot, you know, that you know, wolves are going to come in, and sheep are going to be, you know, torn apart, and there's these destructive influences. And he says to the Colossians, he says, see to it that you're not taken captive by, you know, vain philosophies and empty deceit and all those sorts of things. And so as shepherds of people, if we want to lead them spiritually, we push those influences out, and we stand and we protect them and keep them how God wants them to be and how God wants them to live. And so the shepherd invests his life in the sheep like Christ did for us. He protects his sheep like Christ did. We see it a lot with the disciples and the apostles, right? He said, Satan, to Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Not, I'm going to let him have his way. I'm going to stand in between you and Satan, he said to Peter. And so we protect them. And the next thing that Jesus points out here is that the good shepherd knows his sheep. He says in verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And so he kind of brings out this point that I know my sheep. And my sheep know me, and know there is kind of not just I know their names and I can read it on a roll or a roster, but it's I know who they are. I have this intimate, close knowledge and fellowship with the people that I'm trying to lead. And he really brings that out there when he says that my sheep know my voice. And when you think about knowing the voice of someone, that's a close relationship. Perhaps if many of you called me up on the phone, you know, if you weren't in my contacts, right, I would, you said, hey, this is so-and-so, or hey, how's it going, and didn't tell me who you were, I would have no idea who I'm talking to. Maybe I think you're a telemarketer, and I just wouldn't answer the call, or say, oh, I got something else to do. But when my wife calls me, even if I don't see that caller ID, and she says, you know, hey, honey, or, of course, that's a tip-off right there, but if she's, I don't get many calls from women saying, hey, honey, except for my wife, just so you know. But if she would say something like, I need you to do this, I would know it was her, right? Because I know her voice. When my son Joel was younger, not so much now, his voice has kind of dropped a little bit, but when he was younger, his voice was such that if we were in a room of 100 kids, I could pick his out and I could hear him talking because I recognize it and I know him. And the people who are closest to me, and probably the people who are closest to you, you recognize their voice and you know all sorts of things about them that other people don't know. When I was a pastor, we had hardwood floors in our fellowship hall. And when my wife would open the door and start walking across the fellowship hall, I knew that it was her by the click of her heels on the hardwood floor. Now, any other woman in the church, I had no idea who that was, but I knew it was my wife, right? And so it was time to like close down ESPN webpage and get to work because my wife, you know, was coming to see me. But I knew who it was because I know her. And that's what Jesus is bringing out here. He says that, you know, as his sheep, he doesn't just know our names, but he knows everything about us. In Hebrews, as Jim kind of preached a couple weeks ago, right? He knows our thoughts, and he knows our motives. He knows what we're doing and where we're going at all times. And so that's kind of the example that he brings to this passage. I know my sheep. I know who they are. I know where they're going. I know their fears. I know the trials that they're facing. I know the struggles that they have. I know, you know, the sins that they're dealing with. And so as we apply that to ourselves, we have to invest ourselves in people exactly the same way. And now, don't get me wrong, we're not going to be like Jesus and know motives and know thoughts and know all of those sorts of things. But to truly lead people spiritually, we've got to know things like where they're struggling. And we've got to know things like what is going to encourage them in their faith, because some people are going to be encouraged by words and some people are going to be encouraged by actions, and some people need you to kind of pat them on the back and walk with them through some things, and other people you just say, hey, you're wrong, you need to fix that. And then they go and they fix it. And so as you think about the people in your life, how well do you really know them? Make time to get to know people so that you can lead them spiritually. And then the last thing that Jesus speaks to here, probably says more, but I only found these few, is that the good shepherd sacrifices for his sheep, right? He says several times in this passage, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And of course, I don't know that the disciples totally understood what he was talking about there, but ultimately we know that he was talking about the sacrifice that he was going to make on the cross for our behalf. That, as the scriptures say, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved us that he died on the cross for our sins. And so I believe Jesus was fully pointing to that point in time where he was going to die on the cross for our sins, and he was going to die in our place. So the good shepherd sacrifices for his sheep. And you think about the sacrifice that Christ made. I believe the cross was so important and a great sacrifice. But for him to come to earth and to live among people and to live in a world filled with sin and a world filled with mud, a world filled with just filthiness. When you're used to being, you know, exalted in heaven, you're used to hearing angels bow before you. You know, if you read the book of Revelations, it says, you know, myriads upon myriads of people just praising him and just telling you how wonderful you are. And then you're born into a place where you were born in a stable and no one really even recognizes your birth until, you know, long after. And then you raise up and you're trying to shepherd the people Israel, and they reject you and they do things like spit on you and call you a demon when you're actually, you know, God in the flesh. And finally they beat you and they pull your beard and they put a crown of thorns on your head and they crucify you on a cross. And you do that for the people of the world. You do that for the very people who would crucify you. You know, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, right? And so we have this great sacrifice that Christ made. He laid down his life. He gave up his throne in eternity and came down to earth to walk among us and be among us and spend time with us because he loves and he cares for us. And so the good shepherd sacrificed for us. And he says to lead other people, to be that spiritual leader, you're going to have to make some sacrifices for them. And John draws that out in the book of 1 John 3:16. John says, if I could find it in my notes, he says, Jesus laid down his life for us, and he says we ought to lay down our life for one another or for our brothers and sisters. And so I like that passage. of Scripture for a couple reasons. I don't like it for a couple other reasons because it like calls me to a higher, you know, level of sacrifice. But John says something there. He says, we lay down our life, or Jesus laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for others. And so when he says that, he kind of throws in that little word there, ought. And when we think of the word ought, you know, we think about something that's a good idea, right? I ought to change the oil in my truck every 3,000 miles, right? If I don't do it, it's not that big of a deal. I can probably go 4,000 miles or a little bit longer. I ought to, you know, pay my taxes. I ought to do this. Paying your taxes isn't that great of an idea most of the time, but we have to do it, right? I ought to do that, or I should do that is kind of what we would say. But when John writes ought, in that passage of Scripture, in the Greek, it's not just a great idea or something you should do, but it's almost written as like a moral imperative. It's almost written as a command. He's not saying, hey, if you got time, lay down your life for your brothers and sisters, or hey, if you feel like it, or after you get off Facebook, or after you, you know, watch the game. He's saying, this is the way you should live. Not just coming and living for yourselves, but sacrificing for the good of your brothers and sisters, for one another, for the people that God has placed in your life to live. You should lay down your life as Christ laid down his life for us. And my wife and I always, not really joke about that, but we look at passages like this one and passages like Ephesians 5, which say husband ought to lay down your life, you know, for your wife. And so my wife's kind of like, you'd take a bullet for me, wouldn't you? I'm like, yeah, I would do that, you know. I would, if someone broke into our house, I would gladly die on your behalf. And so I think sometimes it's easy to look into the future and say, you know, ifs and buts and what ifs and this happened. But I think when Paul taught that and when Jesus taught about this and when John, you know, taught about that, laying down our lives for one another, it's not that one, you know, off chance that you're going to have to take a bullet or take a knife or whatever for somebody. But he's talking about this daily life of sacrifice on behalf of someone else. You know, Jesus said, if you want to follow after me, deny yourselves daily, right? The Apostle Paul says, I die daily so that I might follow Christ. And so when we think about leading others, Jesus said, I've sacrificed for you. I'm laying down my life. And we should lay down our lives for the other people. And so how are you laying down your life, or how can you lay down your life? You know, sometimes I think for myself, I told you, I think about my kids a lot as I talked about this sort of idea of having sheep. You know, I think about what are some ways that I can sacrifice for my kids. And I think for me, maybe the biggest issue is my time. You know, we get caught up at work and we get caught up in stuff we want to do and we get caught up in, you know, our interests. But sometimes we sacrifice that and say, you know, I'm going to, instead of doing what I want to do for half an hour, I'm going to play, you know, cards with my kids, or we're going to play a video game together, or whatever. And that's where I'm at with this idea is that, man, sometimes I can be very selfish with my time, even from those who are closest to me. And maybe you're not like that. Maybe you are a time giver. You know, man, I have all the time in the world, and so I just want to pour time into people. Maybe for you it's, man, you really felt led to, you know, sacrifice financially, or, you know, maybe sacrifice a little bit of pride. You know, I thought about this with my oldest son. You know, sometimes we get into arguments, and he's very strong-willed, and I'm kind of strong-willed myself. And sometimes, because I'm the dad, I feel like I have a tendency to kind of beat him down maybe further than I should. And the anger or whatever it is raises up in me, and I kind of feel like I want to put him in his place. And sometimes that sacrifice is just backing up a little bit and saying, you know what, I don't have to win this argument, or I don't have to, you know, put him in his place, or however you want to say that, but I'm going to sacrifice a little bit because I want a relationship with my son, a stronger relationship with my son. I'm going to give up something that I might continue to speak truth and lead him the way Christ wants me to lead. Because aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't do that to us, that he doesn't put us in our place all the time? You know, there's times where you read the word and it's like, oh, a dagger in your heart. But there's other times you read that word and it's very encouraging, right? He didn't say, I'm the good shepherd and get with the program and you guys are sinners and just repent. He said, I'm going to lay down my life for you that you might have life, that you might be perfect as I am perfect, as we will one day. Philippians 2 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or vain conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." And that's what I think about when I think about us sacrificing for those around us. Because we're not looking out for what's best for me, but we're looking out for what's best for them. And so this is how I've seen, this is what the Good Shepherd spoke to me as I studied it and kind of prepared for this message, was I really kind of wanted to hone in on how great and good God is to us. But I also felt this tension of, man, God says, this is what I've done for you. And he says, this is what you should do for others. And so kind of as we close this morning, I want you to think about maybe some of the things that we've talked about or that I've talked about. You guys have just kind of laughed along and listened. But think about some of the things that have been discussed this morning. You know, who are the sheep in your life? The people that God has said, I've given you this person or I've given you this experience or whatever it is. And then how can you begin to lead them as Christ led us? You know, maybe it's you need to take that ownership in them and invest your life into the people that surround you. Or maybe it's this idea that you're not as vigilant as protecting them from the negative influences that kind of creep into their lives. I mean, I need to be a better protector. I need to be a better teacher. I need to be more, you know, agile with the truth so I can combat the lies that come in. Maybe you need to reach out of your comfort zone and really get to know people. You know, that's one of the things that, as Patrick was talking about the small groups, that's one of the things I really love about having people in my home is that, you know, when I come to church on Sunday morning, I stare at the back of their head. But when they come to my house and we share a meal together, or most of the time we just have like desserts, we really get to know them. And then when I know someone, I can minister to them and lead them and teach them or whatever God is asking me to do at that point, because I know what they need and I can help them out. You know, maybe it's reaching out of that comfort zone and saying, I'm going to get to know this person or that person. You know, one of my goals for this year is I'm kind of more of a reserved person, probably introverted person. And one of my goals this year is to try to get to know people better so that I can serve them. And, you know, it also enriches your life as well. And then maybe it's the sacrifice piece. Are you really sacrificing and serving the people around you? Or are you doing it when it's convenient, when it doesn't cost you anything? I love what David said. I can't remember exactly where it is in the scriptures, but the people had, he wanted some wine or something like that, and he wanted to sacrifice to God, and they went and got him some, and they fought all day to get it, and he kind of poured it out and said, I'm not going to sacrifice to God something that cost me nothing. I'm not going to worship God with something that didn't cost me anything. Are you sacrificing to serve those other people and putting their needs and their interests before your own? How can you grow into the image of the Good Shepherd as God wants us to grow and live? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We thank you for your example as the Good Shepherd. That God, you're the one who cares for us and you walk with us. And God, you know us. Out of 7 billion people on the planet and all those who have ever lived, you know who we are and you know our voice. You're with us and you invest your life in us. And so, God, we thank you so much for that. And Lord, I pray that as we get up and as we leave this place and go about our day and do the things that you've asked us to do, help us to grow and help us to shepherd your people and lead them. We thank you for our sheep and we thank you for this calling. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.